Amen. It is good to be in the house of the Lord. Let me tell you, sometimes that's the only place that can keep you together. Sometimes that's the place you know exactly. That's the place that you need to be in. And I don't know about you, but this morning I need to be in the house of the Lord. Oh my goodness. This morning I need God's presence. I need God's words. And so I'm grateful to be able to come to our God with each of you this morning. And I'm excited to attend to the powerful word of God. If you could turn with me in your Bibles to the second letter to Timothy. A familiar passage. I bet at least one person has it in a tattoo. You can show and tell later. Familiar passage. 2 Timothy chapter 1. We're going to be reading 3 through 7. We're going to be in the New King James Version today. The New King James Version. Sometimes you just need to bring it back a little bit. Sometimes there's no way to get the sense of the words except the way that your grandmother said them to you. So I pray that you will remember this passage, and if you're hearing it for the first time, that God will speak to you about your life through it. When you got to say amen?
Amen.
Okay. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 3 through 7. Please consider the powerful word of God with me. I thank God, whom I serve with a pure conscience, as my forefathers and my foremothers did, as without ceasing I remember you in my prayers, night and day. Greatly desiring to see you, he says, being mindful of your tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother, Lois, and then in your mother, Eunice, I am persuaded it is in you also. Therefore, I remind you, he says, I remind you, he's reminding us this morning, I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Please allow me one more time to read this final verse in your hearing, as it is very truly the powerful word of God. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind. If you could help me announce this title, if you could say back to me, God has given me. Come on, one more time, a little bit better. God has given me a spirit of power. Amen. Let's pray. God, we come before your word humbly yet expectantly because, God, as we've said all morning, we need your presence. We have met you before. We have tasted and seen that you are good. You are mighty. You are large. God, you are holy and worthy in our lives, and we know you just a little bit. So, God, today we come because we need to know you a little bit more. We are excited about what you might reveal to us through this word, God. We are excited about the ways that you will minister to us. God, we ask that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see not only what you're doing here, but what you are doing in our lives. We ask that you would give us those eyes because, God, there's a difference between how we walk when we know we're not walking alone. There's a difference in how we walk when we truly know that the God of the universe is on it. There's a difference, God. And we need to know about you. We need to see you move. We need you, God. So as we come before this text, I ask, God, that in spite of the frailties of the preacher, that your word might move with power, that it might be precise and poignant for the needs that your children carry this morning. God, we know that a word from you, and we shall be healed. We thank you. We love you. We are attending to you. Our eyes are on you. It is in the mighty, the holy, and the powerful name of Jesus that together we say amen.
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 God has given me a spirit of power. People of God, I imagine that as you bring your whole lives into God's house this morning, I imagine that as you consider the journeys that you've walked and as you bring your whole selves to this place, I imagine that there are some things in your life you wish you could control. I can imagine that as you consider the journey that you are on and the steps that have constituted that journey up until this point, I can just imagine that there are some things in that journey that you wish you could have made to turn out a little differently. That there were some things that maybe were not as you would have liked, some things that you did not expect, some elements of your journey that were not what you ordered when you sat down at the restaurant, that there are some things in your life that were not as you would have designed them if you could control every pen stroke and every color on the page. I imagine as I consider the life you might have lived and even that life you're living right now, that there are some things you wish you could control. But, sisters and brothers, the reality is that if you live even for a few years, you come to realize that we have a lot of things in life. We got a lot of things, but control is not exactly something we can claim. We have many things in life, but control is not something that's really in our repertoire. It's not something that we can say we walk in control. You realize quickly as you walk this journey that you can't ultimately manipulate everything in your life to be the way you desire it to be. You can't always guard against the things that you wish would not happen to you or to those whom you love. You realize quickly that you can't make sure that your kids do anything. You can try. You can read every parenting book that was ever written in three languages. But at the end of the day, you cannot make the child do anything. They are a human, a creature of their own volition. And though you may try as you might, control is not something that you have. Things happen to your body no matter how well you try to live and the things that you do and you work and you try. You can drink all the oat milk there is in Brooklyn. But still, you cannot necessarily control what takes place in your body, what happens to your body. You can try as you might. You have so much influence. You have you are the one who has all that the influence over that situation and the things that happen to your body. But control is not something that we can claim. Ah, but we wish we could. We wish we really, deep inside of us, there's a desire and a wish that, ooh, we could control these things. This desire, it comes out in many ways. You might not know that you are wishing for that, but you can see it in the evidence in your life at times. It comes out in helicopter parenting, in helicopter spousing, wishing you could control. It comes out in excessive amounts of anxiety, worrying all the time and feeling emotions of heightened anxiety because you are just wishing and trying to make sure that everything in your environment is under control. It can come out in isolating yourself and not willing to get close to other people because you are afraid that if you do, you might not be able to control if they hurt you. And so instead you distance yourself from them and it's a gesture at control. Oh, but you realize, if you truly consider, and if you live for anything more than 2.5 years, control is not something that we have. Oh, how we wish we did. How we wish. How we wish and when the things happen, we just say, why couldn't it be the way I wanted it to be? Why did it turn out? Why did this turn take? How we wish we could design it the way we think it should go. How we wish we could protect against the things. If we could just do it all right, oh, we would. So that we could make sure that life did what we wanted it to do. But you realize that control is not something that we have. Sometimes you get in the point, you get to the point in your faith walk, maybe you've gotten here, where you begin to accept that you're not in control. You begin to realize that you cannot manipulate every aspect of your life, your experience, or the experience of those you love. You begin to realize it's not something that you did that caused this to take place in your life. It's not something that you failed to do. Rather, sometimes you know that things are not always within your grasp. You try as you might. And sometimes you get to the point in your faith journey that you begin to accept this is a healthy place to get. You begin to accept that you are not the one with ultimate control over every detail that happens in your life. And you may begin to conclude and to say to yourself instead, and you might find comfort in this, that instead you might realize in this notion, right? You might get to the point in your faith journey where you begin to find comfort in the notion that you might not be in control, but God is. You might begin to as you reflect on these things, to say, you know what, I realized when I was about 24, I thought I could arrange it and write it and turn the buttons in the right way of my life, but that's not quite it. So I'm not going to take my hands off of the button, but I realize I can't do everything. I can't make it exactly the way I want it to be, but God. You might find comfort in the notion that you might not be in control, but God is. Some find such comfort in this notion, maybe you're one of these, that we begin to believe that the God is in utter and absolute control of everything. You may have heard friends who walk this journey of faith with you say things like, oh, God is in control, and even I know that God does the little things, and when I get a parking spot, it's because God cleared it for me. Lainey says, thank you, God. She says, I know God put that told that person, you have an appointment. Get out of Lainey's way. We might find comfort in feeling like every aspect is controlled, and indeed, God can work in any way God wants. We may find comfort in this idea that God controls even the little things. We may also get to the point where we, even when things that are not so good, like a parking spot, when they come in our lives, we may find comfort. Oh, yes, I know I have. You may find comfort in the notion. You may look at the layout before you and say, you know what, even the bad things. Because nothing can happen without God allowing it. We find comfort in this notion. And so we say, even the bad things God has allowed so that they might somehow lead to a greater good. We may find comfort in the notion that God controls everything. I want to ask you a question. Have you ever worked for a control freak? Jeremy, don't say anything. Just kidding, just kidding. He would never say that. Have you ever worked for a micromanager? Have you ever worked for someone who has to have such utter control over every detail of what takes place in the environment because it's that they do not trust? I hear a lot of yeses over here coming from the education system, yes. That they don't trust those who have been called to the task to do what is right and what is good, or to operate in their own creativity and their own free will. And so sometimes you find yourself employed by someone who's a control freak? Yes. Maybe not employed, but in some other relationship to someone who is a micromanager, who manipulates every aspect of what takes place in the environment, and nothing happens without that person making sure that it goes their way. I submit for your consideration this morning, and I wonder if you'll agree with me. I submit this from the sincerity of my heart, and I feel that I need to say this morning, because as we consider the text before us, there's something that we need to know about the God we serve. I wonder if you agree with me. I submit to you that God is not a control freak. That God is not a micromanager. I submit to you that God is not as interested in control as sometimes in the vocabulary of Christian discourse we have sometimes assigned that to God. I submit to you that God is not as controlling as some of those people for whom we have worked, who want to tell you how everything should be. And before you're in your office at your desk, they are already there making sure it goes their way, even though they're paying you. I submit to you today that God is not like that. That God is not as interested in control as some of us are. Why do I think this? Well, when God created the heavens and the earth, God said, let there be light. Let is a word of allowance. When God created the heavens and the earth, God said to human beings, why don't you name the animals? God did not want utter control. God did not say it needs to be this way and I will make sure everything happens according. God said to the first people, to Adam and to Eve, I give you dominion. I give you sovereignty over the fish of the sea. I find woven through the suggestions of Scripture that God is not micromanager. God is not a control freak. Oh, how we wish that God were. Oh, how we wish when we look at our lives It sounds good, does it not? Those things that we sometimes hear and maybe even say to ourselves when things go wrong. Don't worry, God is in control. Oh, it feels good to know I don't see, but God is making sure and moving all these pieces. It feels good, and we wish that were the case. And sometimes that can work up until a certain point, to believe that God is up on God's heavenly throne, manipulating everything, and even what I experience as negative is somehow God's strategy to get me to where I need to go. And even in my life, if things happen, it feels good to a certain point. And I will tell you up to which point it feels good and it comforts, up to the point when you run into some trouble. Up to the point when you encounter something in your life that you know, baby trouble, junior trouble, little league trouble, that we can handle. Yes, something goes wrong, you encounter some difficulties at your work, you feel, oh, it's just making me stronger. A door closes that wasn't the door that promised you the thing that you knew you needed for life to be life. That door, a door that wasn't all that big a deal, it's just one of the many doors, it closes. Okay, you can think, well, God, close that so that I can go to another. Junior trouble, little league trouble, an illness that is healed in a few months. Those things, yes, oh, we can get behind the notion, and it comforts us, and we find a solace in the idea and the Christian apposition everything that happens takes place because God is controlling it all. But when you run into major trouble, when a door closes, it was not just one of many doors, but when that door had woven through its fibers of wood everything that was constituted the desires of your heart, or when the trouble is not minor league, when it's major league, when you run into real trouble, you can find yourself encountering some things in life that feel so big, so very outside of the will of what God would want. That convince you and remind you, and they convict you that God is not up there deciding. God would not allow. Sometimes you run into things in your life, you say, I know my God too well to believe that God designed this, that God put this in my life, that God controlled this to happen to me. I submit to you this morning that God is not a control freak. Oh, how we wish that God were. Oh, how we wish that God would guard against everything that was too bad and would only give us the little league trouble and the trouble that just gets us to the right place. Oh, how we wish that everything that took place, God would make sure went in the right direction. Oh, how we wish that God were up there saving us before it got too bad and making sure that everything is exactly in God's plan. If everything were exactly in God's plan, everything would be so much nicer. Oh, how we wish that God would micromanage a little bit like some of our employers have done. And as in my own wrestlings, as I've asked God, why? Why did you set it up this way? Why is it that when I was a little girl, I could believe that you were up there doing every little thing, but as I lived a little bit, I saw that God, there are many things that happen down here that do not seem to be in line with who you are and what you want to take place. And even God, in my own life, there are things I just cannot imagine knowing you the little bit that I do, that you would allow or would cause to take place. God, why? I've wondered. God, why? I've asked. Why is it that you set it up in such a way that you do not micromanage everything? Aren't you in charge, God? Aren't you the one on the throne? Why don't you do it the way that I thought you would do it? Why, God, did you set it up this way? Why, God, did you set up the laws of nature so that we can operate freely within them? Why did you give us free will? God, why don't you control it the way I wish you would? We wish that God would. And in my wrestlings, I heard an answer come back to me, and I heard it suggested through the timeless pages and the language of Scripture. I heard it spoken into my spirit, and I heard God say to me as I've wrestled deeply with these things, why, God, why has it not been the way I know you would design it? And I heard God say back to me, there is a difference between control and power. I heard God say to me, there is a difference and I need you to know, limited in your English language, that you cannot name and articulate everything about who I am, but you've chosen this word control, and that's a fine word, but I need you to know there is a difference, God said, between control and power. I know, I see through scripture, if you consider with me in your mind's eye, I know that in Hagar's story, God did not control every little thing. If God had, her journey would have been a lot easier. God did not control everything that happened to Hagar, but when God found Hagar in the wilderness, God moved in power and opened her eyes so that she might see a well of water. That was not control, but that was God's power. God did not control Moses and say, you must go back and you have no whip, but God showed Moses God's power. In a bush that was burning but was not consumed, God said, I need you to do something. I'm not going to make you do it, but I'm going to show you the one who's asking you to do this. You're going to see my power, and then you will know that if you want to be on the side of what's right, you are walking with the one who holds all power in his hands. Jesus knew this. He told us this, though we don't always. He said, thine is the kingdom and the... Didn't say thine is the control and thine is the micro. No, thine is the kingdom and the power. God said to me, I don't desire to be a control freak, but there is a difference between control and power. I wonder if you've seen this in your own life. I wonder if we take a step back from the words that we have assigned to God, the things that we have imagined or learned or even assumed about God. I wonder if we take a step back, if you look at your own life for a second. Maybe if you can even draw into your mind's eye those places in your journey, those steps that have made it up where you wished, you thought, you know, in Sunday school they told me that God was on the throne, that God was in control, and that God would work everything out to my good, and everything would be perfectly aligned, and this doesn't feel that perfect. And where is God, and why did God not do this? I wonder if you can pull to your mind's eye those places in your journey that you might have found yourself wishing, God, this is not the control I thought you had over situations. God, if you have control, what are you up to, God? God, what is going on in this? I wonder if you can pull those places to your mind's eye and think about your life. Is it not the case that God has acted in power? Is it not the case that though God might not, that you might not find everything perfectly aligned in some situations that you are not too fond of, but if you look back, can you not see with me? I know when I look at my own life that it is undeniable that God has moved in power. Can you not look back with me and see that there's some things in your life that would not be there if it were not for the God who sits on the throne, for the God who walks with you, for the God who can do things that you cannot do on your own? Can you not see? Yes. Kids that would have not been able to be raised if it were not for God. Places inside of you that would not have been able to be put back together because they were so very broken if it were not for God operating in power. Places that you have arrived to that you could not have even found your way if you had a map, a GPS, and someone driving you. But God in God's power. I wonder if you can consider me with me as you look at your life. Maybe you hear God also saying to you, I need you to know there's a difference between control and power. As I wrestled with this and I thought about those places that I wished God had controlled, I also thought about those places, and I know there are some places there are some places for you that you also wish, yes, that God had control, but that you had more control. Those things that if you had your druthers, they would not have happened exactly that way. If you had the pen only in your hand, you would not have written the story right that way. You would have taken that chapter out. You think no one wants to read this. Take this part out. Those places in your journey that were not what you thought you wanted, and were not those places. I wonder if you also feel like, sometimes I wish I had more control. And I struggle and I push and I try to do everything in the right way so that I can have some sense of control. If I had my way, if I really could make things the way that I think they need to be, my life would not have this particular circumstance. I would not still be waiting for this particular thing. There would not be this place in my spirit that is still reaching for something. There would not be this place in my past that I just wish did not happen, and it hurts every time I look there. If I had my way, if I were in control. And as I wrestled with those things in my own spirit and in my own story, I heard God whisper to me through the suggestion of Scripture and in the confines of my own spirit. I wonder if you will agree with me. I heard God say to me, Willa, I know there are some places in your life that you tried for things to go a certain way, and you still wish you could arrange it in a certain way. And you ask yourself, why? Why did it not go that certain way? And you wish that you had control. And God said to me, I need you to know that you are made in my image. And so though you may not have the control that you wish, so even though you know that the control you might desire to have in your life is not always something that you have, and you didn't get to make everything turn out the way that you wanted it to turn out, but I need you to know that because you are made in my image, because you have the divine imprint on you, there is a difference between control and power. I heard God saying to me, reminding me, I didn't just tell you that you're made in my image for it to be a pretty thought that you can write on the outside of your Bible, that it can be something that you see on an Instagram post. I didn't tell you this so that it would be an abstract religious idea that could make you feel good every now and then. No, I told you this because I needed you to know something about your very nature. I need you to know that there is a difference between control and power. And I need you to know that if you have my spirit in you, if you're made in my image, you might not have ultimate control over your life, but I need you to know that you can walk in power. And I felt God ministering to me about the places in my life that if I had the pen only in my hand, I would not have written that way. The situations and the circumstances, the things that took place, the things that people did, the things that happened in my life, and the things that I just say, give me the pen back. That's not how it's supposed to go. And God says, that's not how this thing works. And you don't have ultimate control, but I need you to know that you do have power. And the power of knowing the spirit that we have in us. This is what Paul says to Timothy today. Because when we meet Paul and Timothy, I was trying to get away from Paul. But he's so compelling that I had to extend this series just one more Sunday. This is what Paul says to Timothy today. He says, Timothy, I need you to know about the power that is a part of you. I need you to know because there's a difference between how you walk when you know about the power that you have and how you walk when you think, there's nothing that I can do. Paul, you'll probably remember, there were some things in his life that I'm sure he wished God had controlled. There were some things in life, I'm sure, that Paul wished God had micromanaged and had changed, because Paul had to go through so much trouble. Paul had to go through the floggings and the stonings, and I'm sure if he had his druthers, he would say to God, God, why couldn't you just have edited that part out? That doesn't seem necessary. I don't see the point. If you could have taken that out, I'm sure there were things in Paul's life as he encountered this trouble that he wished he could control. When we meet him today, he's in prison. I'm sure he wishes later in this powerful book, he says, these chains are on me, but the gospel is not chained. I'm sure he wishes if he had his druthers that he could control exactly everything about his situation and that he could press a button and the prison doors would open. I'm sure he wishes he had control. But he says something to Timothy that I feel he's saying to us today, and I think we need to know it. And it's simple. I just want to tell you, in the situations that you're in that you feel that you don't have control over, I just want you to know what Paul says to Timothy. He says, remember the spirit that is in you. Because though you may not have control, though there are some things you have to walk through that feel like trouble and feel like they don't make sense, I need you to know, because there's a difference when you know this, that what is in you is power. What is in you is power. I wonder if you look at your life, if you can hear Paul saying this to you. God did not give you a spirit of fear, but of power. God did not give you a spirit of fear and a spirit of, I don't know what's going to happen, and so I'll shrink back. No, God said, the spirit I have put in you, because I am the God of the universe, the spirit I have put in you is one of power. What is the difference when we walk in that, when we let go of needing to control things, but we realize even in the midst of it, there's power. I may not be able to control what happens to my parents' bodies, but there is power as a son and as a daughter of how there is power and how God can move in their lives. Even though I cannot control what happens to their bodies and if they get sick and how they get sick, I can't control all that. How I wish I could, but I can show up with power. There is power in my hands and in my mouth when I speak to the people who are going through things that I wish I could control. I can't control it, but if I don't remember that I have power, I cannot control what people perceive or how they treat me. There's no control you can have over what they say to you or what they say about you, but you can show up, and if you know that you have power, there's a difference in how you cannot control every circumstance. But you are the person in your life who has the most influence on how your life goes. You are the one who has the most influence over how you feel. You are the one who has the most influence over where you are in the next few years. You are the one who has the most influence over what God pulls out of you, because it's you in whom God has placed that treasure. And God is saying to you, I need you to know that you have power over your life, not control. Don't get it twisted. You're not going to be able to manipulate every little thing, but I'm telling you that I put my spirit in you. And when you begin to believe it, there is something that shifts in your life in a different way in which you walk. And you might say, I don't know exactly what's going to happen, but I know the spirit that's in me. This is what Paul says to Timothy, what he's trying to say to us today. Knowing through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit that just as he went through things he could not control, he knew we would too. That there are hospital rooms you don't want to be in, but there's a power that you have, even in that room. That there are things that happen in your family that you don't want to happen. And we spend all this time trying to make it make sense and see, and we say things to God like, what are you doing through this? And yes, God is always doing something. God is always, our God does not slumber, nor does God sleep. But we spend all this time saying, what did I do wrong? Or where is God? Or what is happening here? And how could I have done something? Where did I go? We spend all this energy, and God is saying, it's not that you are in control, but I'm telling you, if you would just recognize Your power. It's simple what Paul is saying to us today. I need you to remember, he says, that God did not give you a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power. There are just three lessons I want us to get from what Paul says to Timothy today, and then I'll leave you alone. Just three lessons that Paul says to Timothy, and I know that through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, they apply so much to us. Paul says to Timothy this morning, he says, I need you to remember that God did not give you a spirit of fear. And so I remind you to stir up that gift. I remind you to stir up the power that's inside of you. I remind you because you are needed in this moment. I remind you about how powerful you are. Three lessons about power that I want us to consider. Paul says to Timothy, one thing about power that you need to know, especially in your life, is that your power is not always apparent. Your power in any given situation and in your life is not always apparent. See, you see, Paul says to Timothy here, imagine if you can just imagine with me Paul in prison, writing to Timothy, his protege, this young man who has helped in the ministry, but this young man, we know he goes through his things, he gets nervous, we know he's experienced some fear, we know a little bit about Timothy's life. He was rejected because he did not have pure Jewish heritage. He had a Greek father and a Jewish mother, and so he experienced a lot of rejection even in the midst of his call, and he was always afraid because they were under deep duress in the church. And Paul says to this man, I need you to know, you may feel some things on the surface, but underneath, you may feel some things in your life. You may feel those things for decades. You may assume, have a certain, you may carry a certain emotion for so long, but underneath, there is a spirit in you of power. He says, God did not give us a spirit of fear. You might feel fear. You might feel the emotions associated with powerlessness. You might feel certain negative emotions, but those, your emotions come and go, but the spirit that God gave you is deep and it lasts and is not yours to discard and yours to give away. No, that spirit, emotions might come and go. You might feel certain things. Your power might not be apparent, but underneath. Yes. How many of us this morning can say, I feel some things as I'm walking down that I do certain things in my life and I don't always feel as powerful as I am, but something in me knows that in my life there has been someone walking beside me and that the things that I have gone through have not overtaken me, not because of who I am, but because of underneath there's a power in me.
Amen.
That's what Paul is telling us today. Your power might not always be apparent. He says to Timothy, I know you feel fear. But that's not the spirit that God gave you. That might be there, but you need to go underneath. So many times in our situations, you can imagine that in your life, the power that you have is not always apparent. It doesn't feel like power. You might not be able to see what you can do or how God might operate through this. And I put for your consideration, sometimes you don't see your power until much, much later. This is what happened to Timothy today. We all know Timothy's name. He has people named after him. We know Timothy went on to found great churches and Timothy did great things, but Timothy did not see his power in the moment. He did not know. He needed Paul to say, remember who you are. Stir up that gift because I know you don't feel it and you can't see it, but there's something you can do and it's a powerful thing. In your situation, you might not always see where you can, how you can act and what God is calling you to do. And I just submit that it's not even going to feel good even when you do it. Because sometimes power, you can't see it till later. Remember God who created all of this in power. At first, it was a watery chaos. Oh, but it wasn't till later that we saw the power of God, God's creative power at work. Sometimes in our situations, power is not always apparent. The Bible, the scripture is full of people who looked at their situation and didn't say, what did I do wrong or how is God supposed to control this? But looked at this and said, what can I do? What can I do? Daniel, I'm sure in his situation, Daniel, as he looked at the places where he was in the Babylonian Empire, I'm sure if he had control over the situation, he would have pushed a button and opened the gates and everything would have changed in an instant. But he did not have control, but he knew he had power. So he asked, what can I do? And as they asked him to pray to their gods and to eat their foods, he said, I don't know. I can't control what you do, but I have power over what I do. And so I will stand here in power, knowing that I serve the God of the universe. Sometimes our power is not always apparent. Your power in this, I want you to look. I want you to see. I want you to see what God could be doing underneath because you can't always see it. The second thing about our power that I need you to know and that Paul is telling us this morning is that your power does not begin and end with you. Whew, hallelujah. Your power does not begin and it does not end with you. Paul knew this well. Paul was well acquainted with the parts of himself that were not that powerful. He knew that the power that was in him did not begin with him. He knew, he said, I got a treasure, but it's in a clay jar. He said, I have this thing going on and I know that God is doing a mighty thing, but let me tell you, it's in my weakness that power comes through because I am not all that. It does not begin with me. Sometimes we get convinced in life and it's not, the culture tells us and we can believe sometimes that the power that we have needs to come from us. We can believe if I did this well enough, if I got educated enough, if I worked hard enough, if I pushed hard enough, if I did not give up, if I did everything right, that's when the power would come through in my life. And if I haven't gotten to those places, well, it must be, or if this is not going in the right way, it must be because I'm not doing enough. But did Paul say, I can do all things through my education? Did Paul say, I can do all things through my grit and determination? Did Paul say, I can do all things through working so hard? Did Paul say, I can do all things through my perfect behavior? No, Paul said, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength and power. We need to realize, and there's a freedom that comes when we understand that my power does not begin with me. Paul realized this, and he says to Timothy, God gave you the spirit of power. Power does not begin with you, but I have some good news. Your power does not end with you either. And let me tell you, that is good news today, because there's sometimes when we run out. Oh, when we run out and when we can't do it anymore and there's nothing else that we have to give. And Paul is saying to Timothy today, it's not according to what you have, but the power at work in you is higher than anything you can achieve. And so I need you to know that even when you run out, hallelujah, that God's power does not run dry. Your power does not end. Your power does not begin with you. And so you can realize in your life, I just want you to call to mind those places where you most feel like, I wish God were controlling this. I wish I could control this the way I want to. I wish it were different. And I'm looking for the place where I can stand in power and God can use me in this situation. I'm looking, I'm trying to see it. And I just don't know if I can do it because I don't have enough. I need you to know that as you show up to that hospital room, when your power runs out, when you don't know what to say, when you don't know what to do, when you don't know if you can spend one more hour on the phone with insurance, when you show up to the test and you don't know if you studied enough and you don't know if you can do it on your own effort, when you show up to the places at your school where they're one more time and they're telling you that your child is into it, when you don't know if you can do anything more, when you have nothing else to give, when you have no more ideas, when you have run out, praise be to our God that your power does not end with you.
Amen.
Your power does not begin with you. It does not end with you. The last thing that Paul is telling Timothy, and I know he's telling us today, your power is not always apparent, but that is the spirit that is in you. Your power does not begin with you and it does not end with you. And Paul tells Timothy this one last thing. Your power is not only for you. Your power is not only for you. Your power is not only for your purposes or the things that you can see. If you know a little bit about Paul's story, you know that Paul operated in deep power. If you look at Acts 19, you will see that Paul, his power was not just for him to do the things that he felt were important to do, and that they didn't just impact him. It wasn't just so his name would be in big lights and that we would still be speaking about him. No, Paul operated in such power that it rubbed off on other people. I need you to know that even when it's not apparent, when you walk in power, your power will rub off on other people. Paul, if you see him in Acts 19, it says that 19:8, he went into the synagogue, this is Paul, spoke boldly for 3 months, reasoning and persuading concerning things of the kingdom of God. But when some were hardened and did not believe, they spoke evil of him and evil of the way. He departed from them. He withdrew with the disciples, reasoning daily in the school of Tyrannus. Continued for 2 years, all who dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord, both Jews and Greeks. Now, Paul worked unusual miracles. Excuse me, I read it wrong. God worked unusual miracles by the hands of Paul, so that even the handkerchiefs or the aprons that were brought from his body to the sick and the diseases left them and the evil spirits were out of them. So Paul's power was such that it was contagious, that it rubbed off on other people, because your power is not only for you. I don't know what you're going through in your life. I don't know the places where you are concerned. Is God moving? Is God in this? But what I'm telling you is that the power, when you decide to walk in it, your family will be different. Because you know about the spirit that God put in you. Your children will be different. The people at your workplace will be different. The people in your school will be different. It will rub off on you because that power is not only for you. And if when you begin to get clear about the places to which God sent you, that it's not about you and what you can accomplish or how even that you feel about it, but that God is using you to send God's power into the world, into those situations, something changes about the way that you walk. I need you to know that your power is not only for you. Your power is not only for those things that you see, that you can do. Your power will be contagious. But what it takes, people of God, what it takes is that we begin to understand, like Timothy heard today, that your spirit, the one that God gave you because you are made in God's image, is not one of fear. You might feel fear when you face the things that you face. You might feel a certain way, but God is trying to remind you today, this is all I need to tell you, and I'm just trying to let you know that the spirit that is in you is one of power. What you face in that world, what you face in your life, God gave you the spirit to be powerful in the midst of it. You might not always see where it is that you can stand in power. You might not always feel powerful as you're doing it, but God is telling you this morning, I know what you're going through is difficult, in the same way that Paul went through some trouble, but I have made you powerful in the midst of it. I have given you a spirit of power. Don't forget and stir up that gift of what I put in you. Do not forget that I did not give you a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind. Amen. 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 Stand to your feet this morning.